that line was. Wasn't real high, just needs FYI.
Oh my goodness. What a week.
Yeah, right?
Oh my gosh. So
we're recording remotely-ish again.
Right. Well, we're back in a pre-shutdown, and I think we are going to go into full shutdown. That's what everybody's saying.
To me, I drove down Ventura because we turned my car in the other day. So sad.
R.I.P.
My Mercedes. But the lease was up and I don't need a car. I turned it in and the lady was like laughing. She's like, 17,000 miles, huh? Okay. So they didn't even try to sell me a new car. They were just like, cool, cool, cool.
You clearly
don't drive a car. So, but because I travel so much and I never really need a car for much of anything. At any rate, we're driving down Ventura and I'm like, holy fucking shit. And this is after they were like, restaurants are closed. I put that in quotation marks because clearly no one's actually doing that.
Oh, yeah. People are still eating. Like, I'm just like, how? I thought that it was takeout only in California now.
No, it's crazy. They've closed the indoor part of restaurants.
I see. Okay.
So if you have a patio, you can still be open. But here's the issue. Like, we're in one of the biggest spikes ever. And I think they threw restaurants that bone because literally, as they're estimating now, like almost 50% of restaurants are not going to survive this pandemic.
Jesus.
So.
Jesus. Wait, I thought our economy was the best it's ever been.
Oh, right? So if you have a favorite, like, and I'm not talking Applebee's or Olive Garden or whatever, but if you have a favorite local restaurant, chances are, flip a coin, it's not going to be there next year.
God, that's so sad.
Because takeout is not enough. It's not enough to pay the rent. Yeah. It's not enough to pay staff. It's nuts. It's nuts out there. Mm. And yeah, I have the same thing because I drive through WeHo to get home from my job. And there's people out on the patio, no masks, these poor like servers running around trying to wait on people. And I'm just like, oh my God, what?
Yeah.
What are we trying to do right now? It's so scary.
It is. It is scary. Yeah, it's wild times, 2020. Am I right?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of wild times, I've got like a couple things I want to talk to you guys about this morning. Okay. But number one, like, what do you guys think about the chick that keeps making her guy re-propose to her because his
absolutely
proposals aren't good
fucking
enough?
Fucking not. Absolutely not. Listen. If you have certain expectations within your relationship, those are things that should have been discussed with your significant other prior to your engagement, first of all. If you know yourself and you know that you're going to be incredibly disappointed about one of those things, that's a discussion that you should have had a long time ago, early on in your relationship, because nobody's a mind reader, and how was he supposed to know? And then secondly, when it comes down to it, if you want to be with that person, if this is somebody that you want to be with, you set that stuff aside and you're just happy to be engaged to this person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that you can't be disappointed about anything ever. You know what I mean?
Right,
it's okay to have expectations, but convey those. And then at the end of the day, put it into perspective of like, how important is this really?
Right. In the big picture. Like, do you actually want to spend the rest of your life with this person? Is marriage proposal the actual problem, or is it the relationship as a whole? Because I'm confused.
Yeah, it strikes me very much as the type of person for whom the wedding and the proposal and all of that stuff is what's important and what they've been fixating on and thinking about, and not the relationship or the marriage.
You nailed it. Yeah, I thought the same thing, because he's like, he like loves her. He like proposed to her in bed, and she was like, she was looking forward to a more elaborate proposal. And he's like, oh, okay, all right. So he like got a ring, and then he like went home and lit all these candles and everything like that. And she was just like, she's not having that.
She's like, no, by elaborate, I meant public.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then he starts over and plans a 3-night trip, like, honey, away to their favorite, like, city, spared no expense, 5-star hotel, photographer, and even an opera quartet. She still ain't happy with that.
Wait, I'm sorry. How? Is she telling him no? Like, is she turning him down? Or, like, what? Because, okay, listeners, listen. If you are in our Facebook group, you've likely noticed that I'm not on Facebook anymore. I deactivated my Facebook for the sake of my mental health. It's amazing. I highly recommend. However, I get left out of things like this. So now I'm like, wait, what happened? So did she just, is she turning down his proposal?
No,
like, she's saying, no, I won't marry you?
No, she's saying, yes, I want to marry you, but this, you need to create a proposal that we can tell our grandkids someday.
Honey,
this isn't good enough.
I'm sorry. Like, you, to this man, I just need him to stop. Yeah, I need him to stop and evaluate this situation, because it's like, is this someone you actually want to be married to? Someone who cannot be pleased no matter what you do.
Also, let me just say, 24 and 25 are their ages. So I'm baby boy, get out of there.
Sweetie, how the hell did he even afford a trip and a 5-star hotel and a photographer and a quartet? Like, love.
Honey.
I'm sorry. You're going to go into debt trying to propose to this woman.
Oh,
and here's the thing. Like, the first proposal in bed, no ring, right? I understand her maybe having a tinge of disappointment there, because I do think, like, just the way our society's conditioning for young girls especially, like, we think about stuff like that and, you know, being proposed to.
Too many Lifetime movies.
Too many romantic comedies that end in a proposal. Too many. You know what I mean? And so, like, I do think that that's a little bit understandable if she's kind of like, hey, I'd like a ring. I'd like you to get down on one knee. These are just the way that I envisioned things.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
But honestly, like, at what point are you just like, you know what? Doesn't matter how I'm proposed to, because we're going to have a long and happy marriage.
Not like that. Yeah. He's done it 4 times now.
Absolutely. Four times. Sorry. I would be like, if this isn't good enough for you, then nothing ever will be. And by the way, this is the type of person who's going to be an absolute goddamn nightmare when trying to plan a wedding.
Oh, God.
A nightmare. Bridezilla.
I'm having nightmares about being her, like, wedding coordinator. Oh, I feel like it'd be the worst.
Oh, my God. You know what? There was I watched a thing on YouTube. It came up because I don't remember what company did it, but it came up because one of the ones was like, worst ways I've been broken up with. And I went to watch it, and somebody I knew was in it, actually.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh, that's so cool. And so I actually should write her and get her to write in her whole story, because it was a little wild. But one of them was wedding coordinators talk about what made them finally leave the business, like the worst experiences that they had. And I'm like, God, people are animals.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, I can't think of honestly like a worse job to have. Like, I get it. It's a special day. You want it to be perfect. But the way some of these brides treat their coordinators is in fucking sane. I can't watch any of those shows. I get such anxiety. I get hot. Mm-hmm,
those Bridezilla shows. Oh man, Bridezilla. I used to watch the shit out of Bridezilla, and I always ended up feeling like just like this, where I was like, why is this man staying with her? Like, she's acting just absolutely insane. And I remember whenever I used to work in a salon, and I'm sure Cassie, you can speak to this a little bit,
God.
But when I used to work in a salon that did like hair and makeup, if it was like the stylists would fight over not having to do the bride.
Oh, because, see, that's never the thing in our place.
Oh, really? Because
no.
They were like, the brides are, and they would like, they charged more. And like, that's something that brides
we always charge more
complain
for a bride.
About. Like, you know, when you're planning a wedding, everything's so expensive, blah, blah, blah. But it's like,
but you take more time on a bride.
You take more.
For me, when I book a bride for no less than an hour. I book bridesmaids 30 minutes usually, because I'm quick. I am fast. And I know that that's different for some people. But I will tell you right now, the thing that I hate the fucking most, because I usually, mothers of the bride, unless they have longer hair, I'll do a lesser rate for them, right? So they'll have, like, you know, usually a 30 to 45 minute appointment. Mothers of the bride, mothers of the groom, those are the fucking worst. I would pay someone else to do that. I like, honestly, like I give me a bride all day, every day. Fucking mothers of the bride. Ooh, we. Or you get that one fucking bridesmaid who thinks that this special day is about her. And you're like,
oh, shit.
Hunty, oh, yes. Honey, it ain't about you.
Literally no one is looking at you.
No like, one gives
literally
a shit.
No one's looking at you. But yeah, no, it was funny. A lot of those bridal coordinator stories had to do with mothers of the bride or groom. And oftentimes the groom. And I think it's because like mothers of the groom maybe sometimes feel like they're getting the short end of the stick, like they're not getting as much attention.
Can I tell you my favorite doing hair for a mother of the bride story?
Oh God, yes.
Okay. I was working in Short North and this I was just doing the mother of the bride and like I think one of the bridesmaids, because it was like a whole party came in, and the mother of the bride, I'm sitting and the bride's next to us, you know, and she's telling me, I'm like, oh, what are you wearing? And she's like, because I always go there because I'm like, to me, what you're wearing, it should all complement each other, right?
Absolutely.
So I always try to get details of what they're wearing, what's their dress, what's the neckline, etc. Also, hot tip, if you're a bride and you're going in for a practice bridal updo or style, make sure that you wear a top or a shirt in the same style of the dress that you're wearing. It's a very good tip.
That is a good tip.
Because then it gives you like a good visual of like neckline and all of that. Anyway, so I digress. I'm asking this woman what she's wearing. What is she wearing? Can you guess?
White.
A short white dress.
No. The mother of the bride.
And then I get the scoop later from the guy who did the bride. And he's like, oh, yeah. It's like, apparently, he was like, it's super, super scandalous short white dress. No. Apparently.
What
and
does she the bride had a major think? Fight.
So the bridesmaid or the bride was pissed. She hadn't talked to her mom apparently for like weeks since she'd known about this dress, and begged her mom not to wear it. But mom's wearing it because guess what?
Dad is bringing his new wife or girlfriend.
Yes, he is.
Oh my God.
Oh,
way
my
to make
God.
It about yourself. I fucking hate that. I hate it because I'm just like, guys. Anytime it's somebody else's wedding, like unless the bride is being absolutely ridiculous, unreasonable, which we've discussed, like I've watched Bridezilla, and on more than one occasion, I'm like, no, you need to tell that bitch off and like walk away or whatever. But in general, like, what does it actually matter to you? Mm-hmm. Like it's somebody else's wishes, like, and it's your child, especially, just like be like, okay, if you don't want me to wear this, it's not about me for like one fucking day, like, dude, just chill.
Let me reiterate, that is the perfect phrase. It's not about me for one fucking day. Look at all the people not fucking wearing masks.
Oh,
it's the
Jesus.
Same fucking thing. It's the same True. Fucking thing where people cannot stop thinking
minimum.
About just themselves.
Yeah,
you know,
we're asking you to do the bare minimum for the good of other people, and you just can't do it. And
it's my rights.
The thing with the mother of the bride, it's the same thing. It's like, honestly, just you can't do the barest minimum.
No,
because
that's
your daughter.
She did. Her dress was the barest minimum.
Because I consider myself to be a fairly laid back bride. Like, I'm pretty chill.
Can
like,
you imagine if Tammy was like, hey, honey, I am going to wear this dress and this it is just
scandalous.
Below my knickknacks.
Well, I honestly think like coming in and being just like, I'm going to wear this thing is also just like, what? I'm sorry, huh? Like my mom, she picked her dress. She sent me a picture of it. And I think she was concerned because the color is like kind of like a pale pink, like blush,
like a blush
situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, is it
for your wedding?
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it
that's
is.
Perfect for our dresses. And then her,
it's going to complement nicely.
Oh, so nicely. That's going to look so good.
But I think she was worried that it was too pale or whatever, and I'm pretty laid back, so I'm like, I don't care at all. Like, yeah. I think that looks great, looks beautiful, buy it, go with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's what you do. You message somebody and you're like, hey, this is what I like, this is what I'm looking at, cool with you? Great.
Exactly.
Fine.
Exactly.
Like, done. If everybody is reasonable, then you're fine.
So you guys know I am a lone ranger when it comes to all things romance, and I hate romantic things. So I went wedding dress shopping by myself, found my dress, called my mom, had her come to the bridal shop on the way home, and I, you know, tried it on for her, and she was like, holy shit, it's like it was fucking made for you. We have to get it. We did. fell in love with it. And my mom, while we were there, she's like, I'm going to go ahead and pick out a dress too. She picked out the most fucking beautiful, like dark champagne off the shoulder dress that I don't know if my mom's ever worn a dress more beautiful in her life. She looked impeccable. However, the funny part of this story is as we're leaving, my mom says, well, you and I have our dresses. So I guess the best part's out of the way, or like the biggest part's out of the way. I'm like, I guess you're, we're like, not concerned about the groom. At all.
The mother of the bride dress is not even in the top 10 most important things for my about mom, planning a wedding.
For my mom, it was the top two. So
that's awesome.
Which is hilarious because that is not my mom as the like overbearing mother.
But you
at
know
all.
What?
Like,
also, I do understand it, trying to look at things from like all perspectives. Like, as you get older, the number of times that you get to feel pretty, you know, get to have your hair done, your makeup done, get to wear something beautiful, they decrease. Like, yeah, you know, you don't have school dances, you don't have prom to go to or anything like
that. Honestly, this is the best part of divorce, isn't it? Like, to have get another to do it wedding again, so that we can start doing the divorce weddings. I'm here for it. Sign
Dude,
me up.
You know what I'm going to do when everything is finalized for me? I'm throwing
Bitch, I don't care as long as I'm in it.
Party.
Yes.
The biggest
divorce
party. Yeah. Think it should be a thing. Yeah. I think
some
we should celebrate divorces the same way that we celebrate, you know, weddings.
I think we do it like we would do like a bachelorette party, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Like, just get wilding out, fucking get you a banner to go around your neck and a bunch of dick necklaces and
all different size and shapes, necklaces.
Yes.
You're like, this is what my trial is going to look like while
I'm
out in the field.
Yeah, it's
going
to commemorate all of the dicks that led you to Eric. You know?
That's so true.
A commemorative dick necklace.
Oh my gosh. You guys, I know we usually reserve this for the end, but I, and I know Cassie has as well, started watching the new Unsolved Mysteries.
Me too.
Dude, okay.
Me
I
too.
Watched the first episode.
Me too. Amazing. I didn't start from the beginning because Anthony and I looked through the titles, and unlike Cassie, we did the opposite of Cassie and we went straight to Aliens. We were like, that episode is about the aliens. We went to that one first. And
I'm so jealous because I started from the first episode. Oh my God. How good is the Alien episode?
Is so good. Cassie, do not watch it because like by the end I was like, no, yeah, that definitely happened. Nope. And I say that despite the fact that some of the people they interviewed in classic Unsolved Mysteries fashion were a little unreliable. Like, there were a few that
aliens.
Like, yes, there were a few that I'm like, no, that guy definitely has a bunker. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where I'm like, I don't know if I trust him. But then they interviewed like nice old ladies who were like, listen, I would not be here on national TV. I'm 85 years old. I wouldn't be here telling you this shit if it didn't happen. And I'm like, no, I believe you, Brenda. Like, for sure. You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love the production value.
Yes.
Is so high.
Yeah.
And I also love that they kept so many original elements of Unsolved Mysteries. They kept the theme song and all that. But
Did you notice in the opening credits, one of the Bobby Stack?
Is Robert
Stack.
Yes, exactly. I love that they put his picture in the opening credits at the very end, but it and to honor him, they didn't have anybody else step in to host the show.
See, Chris and I were both kind of like, I wish they had a host. I think that would, and Chris said to me, he goes, maybe one of the girls from like your murder shows, like Karen or somebody.
I don't
know. Or Paul Holes, because Chris now is very familiar with all these things, especially because I watched the Paul Holes show on ID or whatever, and then the
I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
I'll Be Gone in the Dark, yeah. So now Chris is very familiar with Karen and Georgia and Paul Holes.
Yes, and Paul Holes is very distinctive. I actually think Paul Holes would be a good choice
as
a replacement for
Honestly,
for Robert
Karen
Stack.
Or Georgia would be a good choice too. Could you imagine?
I feel like Karen and Georgia have too much, and we're talking about Karen and Georgia from My Favorite Murder, if you're unfamiliar.
Yeah.
But I feel like Karen and Georgia are almost too humorous. Like,
sure.
I need like a Robert Stack who's like
Paul Holes
so
is serious.
Paul Holes perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Who's like so serious about it that I'm like, well, I mean, Bobby Stack is here telling me that this is a possibility, so I think I might believe it. You know what I mean?
Could you imagine if Paul Holes told you there might be aliens?
For sure. I'd be like,
I
okay.
might believe it then, actually.
But I actually liked that there is no narrator. What do you think, Christina?
I'm in between. I watched the first episode, and so like the original Unsolved Mysteries used to be short, and it would have multiple mysteries throughout the thing. And these are more in depth,
long form,
And I felt like I wanted an in between because I felt like the original ones were too short, and the reenactments and stuff were just goofy. I mean, as a kid, loved it, honestly. But yes.
These new reenactments are done well. Yeah. And they're very few, actually. They only put in like one or two.
And they don't like show the faces. So it's more like a, this is what was happening. My hands are doing something. Yes. Like it's very inconspicuous.
I feel like I would want something in between, like two cases per show. Like I'm going through the first episode and I'm like, okay, like it's repeating itself a lot, you know? I don't know if you watch the first episode, but yeah, I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, I want to move on. I want a taste of something different, like two per show.
I felt that way a little bit too. I only watched the first episode, but I was enthralled. But
I'm still obsessed. Still going to obsessively watch like all of them.
I mean, go watch the Alien one immediately because I feel like with that one might satisfy you a little differently. First of all, not every episode's the same length. And I think the Alien one is only like 38 minutes. Yeah. And they're interviewing so many different people.
That might help. They've only interviewed like two or three people in this one. And it's just like, oh my God, I get it already. But yeah, is it episode 5? That's the alien one?
It's something about Berkshire. It says like UFO in the title. That's how you know. Like you're like, oh, okay, what's up? Yes, I love it.
Last thing I want to talk to you guys about. I'm going to read this to you because, Keegan, I don't think that you've seen this. Cassie, you might have. This was also posted in our group. Okay. So this chick has been with this guy for a year. They're living together through quarantine through the last 3 months. He started their relationship with a buzz cut, but during the lockdown, his hair has grown out. As things have reopened, he's been considering going to get a haircut. She asked if he was getting it buzzed again, and when he said yes, she suggested he just get a trim because she digs his locks. Then this happens. A few days ago, I went onto his phone to play Spotify, and I noticed he had Tinder downloaded. I opened it up and saw it was set up as a women's account set to swipe on men. It didn't look like he had messaged anyone yet. When I confronted him about it, he told me that he created the account to look at men's haircuts.
Okay.
That's what Pinterest is for, motherfucker.
Yeah,
no.
Like, honey, Google exists.
I asked him why he didn't just Google men's haircuts, and he goes, when you search for men's haircuts, it's literally all just male models with undercuts. If you search for a man in his 30s, it's just stock photos. Online dating is the easiest way to see pictures of a few hundred real random dudes in their 30s so I can find a picture to bring to the barber.
Listen. Okay.
What do you think?
I'm actually going to say that, yes, I do think that like probably it's real men putting their best picture forward, the pictures where they think they look the best. So I understand it. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, like that actually does make sense. However, Facebook.
Thank you.
Like what? Instagram. Just get on Facebook or Instagram or like whatever else. Like there's we have social media everywhere. Like there's a plethora of ways for you to see other people's haircuts without downloading a dating app.
I'm not buying it. Dude, not buying it.
There are so many people that are buying it.
What else could he have it for? Because it's like he set it up
as a
women
woman
seeking men.
Yeah.
So why?
Yeah.
So I. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. And also, too, I'm like, hey, honey, can you go on your Tinder and pull up some haircuts or anything? I don't know. Like,
yeah,
this is a track to me. It's weird. Chris and I would have a lot of conversations.
Yeah, because I'm like, if that is legitimately his reasoning, he could be like, hey, babe, I have this idea. I think this is a good way to see cool haircuts. before downloading Tinder or even just bringing it up. Yeah, you know?
To be honest, if Anthony had asked, like, come to me and been like, hey, I had this idea because I'm not seeing anything I like on Facebook or Instagram. I kind of want to see strangers or whatever. Like, what do you think if I downloaded this? I'd be like, fine. You know what I mean? Like, because if you came and told me first, I'd be like, oh, all right. I mean, kind of weird, but you do you. I trust you. You came to me and, like, you talked to me about it.
But so if I'm you like, just found it on his phone.
It's weird. It's very weird. Like, he might be telling the truth, but it's still weird.
I don't like it. I don't trust it, and I don't like it, and I'm out. Fuck no.
I'm out. Fuck. I like it that that's it. That's the thing that does it in.
Listen,
like,
I'm a hairstylist. I ain't fucking going for it.
Yeah. You're not buying it. I'm not buying it.
There are a plethora of places besides Google, Pinterest, Instagram. Like I said, follow a fucking barbershop that you like. Like, there's so many fucking ways. You don't need a dating app. Like, it's fucking no. It's a dead no for me. It's disrespectful.
Although I have to say, some people, I don't want to generalize and say men. I want to say people. But you guys know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. They don't always think things through fully. Do you know what I mean? Like, true. Like, literally, okay, true. It could be as easy as, like, he's just like, hey, that's a good idea. Downloads Tinder right away. Doesn't think about it any further. Like,
exactly.
Doesn't exactly. think about it any further than that, which is not ideal.
Yeah.
But the reason why I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt is because it's a women seeking men account. The only two things it could be is that he's telling the truth, or, like my story last week, he is looking for murder victims. There is no in between.
Right. Oh my God.
It's haircuts or murder victims. That's it.
Oh. Both. Yeah.
Well,
both
I hate it.
Are not great. Yeah.
Not ideal. Yeah.
Well, because I hate it.
Who should we fuck, marry, kill this week?
Well, we did talk about last week when we had our whole conversation about FBI agents, the FBI agents who are on your phone watching your stuff. Who would be who do you want to be your FBI agent who's monitoring your shit, who has your back? You know, I have to say, okay, I don't know if I want this person as my FBI agent, but I feel like I need to throw him out there because aliens, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
I'm gonna go with Fox Mulder.
Okay.
For mine.
Oh, shit.
A David Duchovny situation.
Okay. Well, I'm obsessed with right now doing watching Alias, and Dude Face that's on there, who's like her love interest, Michael Vartan.
Oh yeah.
Fucking hot.
I think he married her like IRL.
No, they dated.
Oh, they dated
before Ben Affleck.
Oh, okay. Oh, she's got a type.
And they're still like good friends apparently.
Yeah, he's a good looking man.
He's fucking hot.
I remember him from Friends.
He was on Friends?
Yeah, he was on like
what's that show? Just
kidding. Honestly, rude. So rude. He was the Richard's son. So Richard, played by Tom Selleck, he was the son on Friends.
Oh, okay. Gosh, who would I want to be my FBI agent? Because there's so many hot
ones. You know
who's
a good option?
I'm Googling it. I'm gonna
Shamar Moore.
I mean, come on. Yeah.
Did you guys watch Criminal? Well, we've had this conversation, haven't we? Yeah, but his relationship with Penelope on that show, I'm like, oh,
it's my favorite. It's my absolute favorite thing ever.
So cute.
What about Dude Face from what's the show? It's based off a true series where they profile. Shit.
Mindhunter?
Mindhunter, thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, but I don't think I'd want him to be my FBI agent. Okay. I'm going quirky off the wall. Kyle MacLachlan from Twin Peaks.
Oh, God.
Was an FBI agent.
Oh, no.
Well, I think I got figured out.
Okay. Oh, God. Actually, this is kind of hard.
No shit.
This is kind of hard.
So I'm like, I'm quirky off the wall. I'm like, you know.
Yeah, but him do you want to be... Here's the issue here. And I never watched Alias. So to me, Michael Vartan is just a hot guy. Like, I don't know anything about his character or anything about that. So I don't know. I did watch a lot of X-Files and I did watch some Twin Peaks. And I have to say with... What's his name in Twin Peaks? Do we know? I can't remember
off the top of my head. But you know what? David Duchovny's in that too.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, Fox Mulder. He would maybe be... I thought he was so hot. Like, young me, thought he was so hot. Yeah. But... And like, how bad do you want like him and Scully to like fuck from like day one? You're like, what? Day one. TikTok, bitches, come on.
I might actually have to Google some fan fiction when we're done.
but this him and Twin Peaks guy, who we should look his
Kyle
name up.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah, but
yeah, I don't know his character's name.
But both of them are the intense, like in a way where I'm like, do I want to be married to that? Like every day, do I want to deal?
Kyle MacLachlan in Twin Peaks, though, he's not super intense. He's quirky and weird. It's Dale Cooper is his character.
Oh, Dale Cooper. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coffee obsessed.
Yeah.
You know, which like same. So we have that in common. He's quirky. Oh, God. I don't know. He's not quirky in a hot way for me, though. It's like, yeah. It's
kind of scary a little bit. What are you going to do to me? What are you going to try to do to me?
He's the type of guy who like is a nice guy. Like everyone would be like, you're being interviewed on Dateline. Everybody's like, yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a little quirky, but whatever. And you're married to him for years and years and things are great. You make his coffee every morning just the way he likes it. And then suddenly people show up at your door and they're like, can we have a look in the shed? And then there's a bunch of shit in the shed. And you're okay.
Be like, no, I don't know. He doesn't let me in the shed. Yeah, I've never been allowed in the shed.
He doesn't let me in there, but he's kind of a weird guy. And I just assumed that, like, I don't know. He's got doing fucking whatever, like pinning butterflies to paper in there. Well, like, I don't know.
That's murder, too. I don't
thought
like
he was
that.
Making model trains. I don't know.
Oh, no.
And then they're like, oh, no, he's been murdering people for the last 15 years. No. You're telling me you genuinely didn't have a clue? You're like, I don't know. He's weird. I didn't have a clue. So... So it's a no for me is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Okay. I think I'm going to have to kill him.
Okay. Yeah, same.
And then I actually think this may be a mistake and this may be nostalgia talking. I think I'm going to fuck Michael Vartan because I'm like, he's very hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's very French American.
Oui.
And I think
he's Canadian. He was born in France, but he moved to Canada, I thought.
Oh, gotcha. Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Let's not take that away from Canada. They deserve Michael Vartan. We don't. We don't deserve him.
We don't deserve him.
But I think he was also in Never Been Kissed, maybe. I think he was the guy in Never Been Kissed. He's so cute. So I'm going to fuck him. And this may be a mistake. I may have to live with regret over this decision. Ooh, but I'm going to marry Fox Mulder. Like, I just, you know.
He ain't loyal.
I don't know. I think he is. Not David Duchovny.
No.
Fox Mulder. They're different.
Separate the character from the actor.
Yes. Fox Mulder is loyal. Fox Mulder's sister was abducted by aliens when he was a little kid, and he spent the rest of his life looking for her. He is loyal,
Fox Mulder is the kind of person that's so obsessed with their work and their quote-unquote mission, you will literally never have sex with him.
No, you're living alone. You live
alone.
That's
true.
Never. And even when he is there. He's not present with you.
Right.
And
He actually was married on the show. His wife was just never featured because he never saw her.
that's canon now. No, but here's the thing, though. With someone like Fox Mulder, just hear me out.
Okay.
Hear my case, okay? Someone like Fox Mulder, I feel like, if you joined him on his mission.
Oh, yeah. If you were the Scully to his Mulder.
Yeah. Then I feel like if you were like, all right, we're going to do this shit together. We're going to go find aliens together. And I'm fully buying into all of your shit. Then I feel like it will, you will have a very close, tight bond.
I still feel like you would have a lot of distracted sex, though.
Oh, you know? For sure. Yeah, no, mm-hmm. yeah. It'll be like one of those things where he's on top of you and you're just like,
he's also got his phone behind your head.
Are you thinking about aliens again? And he's like, yeah, I am thinking about aliens again. Yes. You're like, fuck.
Yes.
You're right.
It's just more like function than fun. And you're like, ugh. Yeah. Bummer.
You're not putting the fun in function, bro.
That's right.
Maybe if you could have an open relationship with Fox Mulder.
Hey,
can we talk about Scully and how she's hotter now than she was then?
I've been
infinitely hotter.
Singing Gillian Anderson's praises for 2 years on this podcast. She is a goddamn treasure and just one of the most beautiful women like ever and has gotten hotter. Yeah. She is hotter now. Than she was in X-File.
And she was super cute in X-Files. Like, right. She was super cute. She's just gotten, like, more confident, I think, as she's gotten older. She has that kind of, like, gives no fucks about your opinion kind of, like, attitude where she's just like, I'm going to do my thing. That's
Can I marry Scully?
Right? I'm feeling like maybe we should have chosen Scully over.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my god. Well, no, this is good. I think I know what I'm going to do. I didn't watch Alias at all, so I only know Michael Vartan from Never Been Kissed as well. So this one's kind of tough. He was also in what else was he in?
He was in a lot of stuff in the early 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'm actually going to marry him. He seems stable. He seems like, I mean, hot as fuck and just seems like the most normal out of all of them. But I'm going to fuck Kyle MacLachlan. It's going to be weird AF.
It's going to be so weird.
But you know how I feel about my Crispin Glover.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yes, it's exactly so fucking weird. It's exactly like that. He's so weird. It makes me think like he's going to be like, can I put do you mind if I turn on my sounds of hissing cockroaches in the background while we fuck? Because it's what I need. And you're like, what?
I'm going to learn something from that encounter that I would never have thought of before. So
it's true.
I've got to kill Fox Mulder. I think he's hot. I had a crush on him growing up, but you know, that whole sad, distracted dude. I'm like, they're no fun to fuck. They're no fun to date.
Look at you, growth. So. Okay, listeners, you guys, because I mean, Christina was like queen sad boy fuck. Like in the beginning of this podcast, and now you're like, no, I can't do it anymore. I've fucked enough sad guys. We're done. I mean, it is great, and I admittedly do think that I am making a mistake, but I'm gonna stand by it for nostalgia's sake.
Yeah, we're so proud of you.
The heart wants what it wants, man.
Well, mine's gonna be more like Keegan's because I am also gonna fuck Fox Mulder. Oh, no, mine's different. I think, because I'm going to fuck Fox Mulder. I think he's smoking hot. I cannot separate the art from the artist. David Duchovny, you know that motherfucker is going to fuck you 2 times till Sunday. And ooh-wee, I'm here for it. And I don't want to marry it because I know how it will go, and I'm not there for it, but I am going to fuck that. I have never watched Twin Peaks and have no desire to. And
it's way too scary and weird for you. Yeah.
Don't like it. Don't like Kyle MacLachlan. Don't think he's good looking. Gonna kill him. So,
there we go.
And I am going to marry Michael Vartan because that motherfucker is so hot. And I am obsessed with him on Alias.
I need to watch Alias because I bet you, knowing who I am, I bet you he's way more my speed as far as like a marriageable
dude. He's a goddamn person. Smoke show.
Yeah, and he is hot as fuck. You know, I think that is also a good.
I think that you could get Anthony to watch it. given who's in the cast.
Jennifer Garner is a really good actress.
Oh yeah, she's such a good actress. I mean, she actually is a good actress, but that is what Anthony says when he, that's code whatever for like, I just think she's really hot.
Can I be honest though? That show has some problematic because she dresses up in character and I'm like, honey, nobody believes that you are
It was 2001. Listen, times were different. Yeah. Times were different then. Did you guys see the video that I sent the group chat? Because I'll talk about this at the end. I'll reserve this for the end. But I did watch Hamilton. Oh my gosh. Amazing. But I sent you guys a video of Jennifer Garner
on laughing gas.
She was on like a dentist. Like, yeah, I sent a video where she was on like laughing gas from the dentist. And she was crying about Hamilton. She was
so good.
She was like she's on medication and it's like David after the dentist. And she's just like, it's just so beautiful. I can't stop crying.
Oh my God. Why am I not getting these? I haven't seen any of these.
I don't know.
There was something else yesterday you said you sent. And I'm like, I never saw that.
It's amazing though. So all good choices. Applause all around. We all had different choices. Yes. I do want to shout out, we have two new patrons. So I want to give them their shout outs. So thank you so much, Hannah Husum. I think I'm saying your last name right. Thank you for joining us on Patreon. We are so excited to have you. And Jessica Kokobova, welcome. Welcome, welcome. We will have your Patreon rewards out to you ASAP.
Be soon.
We love that you have joined us on there. If you have any fuck, marry, kill suggestions or anything, your requests get bumped right up to the top. So go ahead and send those in. We'd love to read them.
That was very ad-like, your voice.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Back to you, Christina.
I'm preparing for my career in AM radio. Yeah.
You guys want to take five and we'll come back with stories?
Oh, yeah. But by the way, this is My Worst Date and I'm Keegan. Yeah.
I'm Cassie.
I'm Christina.
Look at us. And
now we'll take five. And we're back. Okay. Cassie, you want to kick us off with stories?
I'm going to do that. All right. So I got this one from Reddit. And I don't know why I think it's very funny. I hope you guys do, too. I think we'll have a lot to talk about. Okay, so someone at work set me up on a blind date. The girl was about 8 to 9 years younger than I was. Date was delayed because she was in the wrong restaurant on the other side of town. Then during dinner, I found out.
That's something I would do, to be honest. Like, that is something that I would do. Like, they're like, meet me at this place. And I'm like, I know where that is. And then I go and I'm like, oh, you meant Cafe Gratitude on the other side of town. Fuck.
Got it. Be right there in an hour. Find out at dinner, she's one. She's an anti-vaxxer. And not just vaccines cause autism anti-vax, but flu vaccines are full of poisons anti-vax.
I mean, but you know what? I have to say, at least she came out the gate on the first
date in hot
with that information.
True.
Because it would be like, can you imagine, like, you're starting to fall. You're telling your friends, mm-hmm. like, you know what? I think she might be the one. She might be the one. You're dating for a couple months.
And you start talking about children, and she's like, I will not.
You're sitting on the couch together one day. Yeah. And then she just drops that on you. And you're like, wait, what?
But how does that even come up in a first date convo?
Question.
You know what I mean?
Well, because people who feel that passionately about it find ways to bring it up.
Of course.
It's like anything else. It's like somebody who's like really into CrossFit. You know what I mean? Like, that shit is totally coming up in the first hour that you know them, whether you bring it up or
like
not.
Like an MLM, they're going to bring that shit up.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. For the record, I worked in a hospital at this time. Ooh. I even mentioned this and it didn't faze her as long as I wasn't one of the one actually giving vaccines to people.
What?
Two, she works for a chiropractor and not the kind that just helps you with your back pain, the kind that believes all ailments of the body can be fixed with just having your nerves aligned.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot to unpack.
It also became obvious to me that she had a crush on her chiropractor boss and might have been sleeping with him despite him being married.
Okay, listen. While I am grateful that she came out the gate with her crazy, because like it really does save everybody a lot of time whenever you do that, it is, to Christina's point, it is kind of weird that like it all, like all of that, how long is this date?
Yeah.
Were you sitting there for 5 hours? Because that's a lot of information.
That's a lot of information to give up very quickly. And I think that too, like, if you, I mean, truth be told, like, if you're just talking about your boss and his nerve alignment
and how incredible he is.
And how incredible he is. And like, get me out of here. Get me the fuck out of here. At the end of the date, she had not eaten even half of her dinner and offered to give it to me after it was boxed up. The only good to come out of that ordeal was my reassurance and sense of self, because this girl was very pretty and young and had zero interest in her. I knew some men who would just do anything to sleep with her, but that wasn't
me. God bless.
And it's not like I was awash in dating opportunities, thus the blind date. So I don't know why I thought that was very funny. I was just like, oof.
It's real. Yeah. I mean, it's really real. I mean, to be honest, like, it's that sort of thing that I get nervous about. Like, if I were single, that is the thing that I would be nervous about. It's like, am I going to end up on a date with somebody who is just, like, idealistically opposed in every way to my own beliefs? Like, is this what's going to happen? And then I'm going to have to, like, sit there and listen to you tell me that dinosaurs aren't real, you know?
Yeah, I told you. I had that guy that was trying to convince me that the pyramids were batteries.
Okay. See.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me is like, go on. Like, I'm kind of like interested in this. I'm like, I'm going to sit over here and eat my salad. You just go off, man.
But aliens.
Listen, all I'm saying is aliens. And this is from somebody who just said that they wanted to marry Fox Mulder. And
like, I know.
God damn. Like, mistakes. Mistakes were made. Okay. This is also from Reddit. This one's going to upset you.
Oh, okay.
This is actually, I think I got this from the Nice Guy subreddit.
Oh, geez. I can't even peruse that without wanting to just burn everything
down.
You know
what? I thought it would be funny. There was like something where I was just like, oh, this will be kind of funny. No, most of them are just sad. So, yeah. I was in college and met him on a video game, found out he lived nearby, and fell hook, line, and sinker for him. He was nice, charming, told me how good I was, quote, despite minor flaws.
Oh, okay. No.
All right. Red flag number one. Yep. You're like, oh, you're so nice. When they're just like, you're great, even though you're kind of they're negging you slightly. You're like,
oh, yeah.
I hate that.
And how, unlike other guys, he didn't care about things like weight.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a terrible thing to say, and it's the way to say it like that, to set it up as though you are a superior human being because you don't care about that kind of thing, like hashtag nice guy TM, whatever. You know, unlike other guys, I don't care about this stuff.
Well, it's like that one dude that was just like that kept calling me like curvy and stuff, and I was just like,
You're trying to make it a compliment, but I don't feel like it's a compliment.
Well, and it feels fetishy too. Like whenever someone like keeps bringing that up, like if it's seriously not an issue for you, then it's not. It doesn't need to be a point of conversation at every turn. Like that, it's strange.
Yeah.
But she says that she was a virgin and she fell for all of this very easily and quickly. So, within a month, he had, quote, roommate troubles, and I said he could move in with me as long as he paid rent. He was the first guy I slept with. Girl, I understand.
Honey.
I get it. Yes, I get it, though. You get, like, a weird emotional attachment. If I ever didn't feel like having sex, he would get really put out and guilt trip me into doing it anyways.
Okay. Oh, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. Then he wanted to do it without a condom. I didn't want to, and he guilt tripped me into that.
Oh, fuck you.
Then whenever we fought, guys, this is terrible. I'm sorry. I should have given a trigger warning. Then whenever we fought, he touched me until I stopped talking. So this is just straight up abuse.
What?
It's just abuse. Like, he's violating her personal space.
I have a billion questions. Mm-hmm. Just touched you until you stopped talking. I would be like,
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly manipulative. It's violating. It's abusive.
Oh, this is fucking horrible.
If I ever wanted sex, he always had an excuse why he didn't want to. So again, this is like a power and control thing.
Exactly. Like
he doesn't want to have sex whenever she wants to have sex. He only wants to do it when he wants to do it, and then basically manipulates her into doing it. And that's a control thing. I tied myself to a bed once in anticipation of him coming home, and he walked in, looked at me, and left me tied to the bed naked to go play video games. I had to ask him multiple times and before he sighed heavily and came and untied me.
I fucking hate this person so much. I hate him so much.
Horrifying.
As somebody who, a big part of my relationship was trying to figure out what I was doing wrong sexually.
Right. Yeah.
And it demeans you and degrades you in a way, like that constant rejection and that kind of thing. It eats at your psyche in a way that I'm still struggling to explain and recover from. And I'm so, the amount of time that she spent trying to plan this to try to get him, like, notice me, love me, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm. Try to do things his way, do something right. that.
Yeah. And you're being constantly rejected. Wow. Because anytime she wants to have sex, he doesn't want to. And so you're feeling like you're constantly rejected. So I do understand getting to this point where you're like, okay, I'm going to do something really extreme to excite him. Like, this yeah. would be something that, like, is going to make him excited for me.
And then
me.
Not only does it not do the objective that you hoped, he uses it as to weaponize.
Yeah, I mean, it's abusive. He leaves you there. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of human being would do that?
Jesus Christ, if you did that to poor Anthony, first of all, you'd have a fucking heart attack and die. So you might be trapped there forever. But secondly, his first thing would be to untie you. He'd say, so, like, this isn't sexy, let me save you.
I mean, and even if you want to... That's the thing. If he just genuinely didn't want to have sex, that's okay. Not everybody wants to have sex all the time. Not even guys. I feel like we have this expectation on men that, like, right. they should want to have sex all the time and drop whatever they're doing just to have sex whenever. So, but it's okay that he didn't want to have sex, but he should have articulated that, untied her, and said, you know, thank you for putting in this effort, but I'm not in the mood, you know?
Yeah, there's use just a words. Way. And the thing is that it ends up turning into a vicious cycle between, like, the abuser and the abused. Because speaking as somebody that did end up trying so hard, like, that isn't attractive to the abuser right. because you're like a wounded animal. It makes them want to hurt you more, if that yeah. makes sense.
Yeah,
and so then it's... The right kind of person would see that and be like you said, like, untie you and just be like, you're really beautiful. I'm just not really feeling it that way, like, exactly. sprung on me. Like, yes. it could be a conversation. It could be a thing. But when it becomes such a vicious cycle. And especially when you're younger and you don't
the
have somebody.
The first person you've had sex with. Can you imagine? Yes. The first person you've ever had sex with is treating you like this. Ugh. Like, horrible. It would really, I mean, it's traumatic. Then he stopped paying rent. Always had a reason he couldn't do it. He stopped cleaning because that was my job. I was working full time and a full time student and doing an internship. He was working part time and playing video games the rest of the time. Then he'd get critical of me very quickly. He would berate me for leaving dishes in the sink, telling me I was going to get sick, then guilt tripping me about being too tired for things, commenting on my weight and telling me how lucky I was. He was there to look out for me, being wow. sure to tell me how other guys would take advantage of me. This is all classic abuser wow. stuff. Wow. When I finally told him I wanted him out and that we were through, he convinced me to have sex with him because I didn't mean it. I told him to use a condom and he didn't say anything. He just didn't do it.
Wow.
I slept on the couch that night and cried myself to sleep. He told me he always had a plan for people who double-crossed him, that when he met someone, he figured out how best to ruin their lives in Jesus. Case they ever fucked with him. I told him to leave and kicked him out. For months, I was terrified of what he would do to me. I haven't seen him since. Good riddance. Edit, forgot to mention, he left his concealed carry license on the counter when he left. Unsure if he forgot it or if it was used for intimidation, but it scared the shit out of me Jesus. Because it felt like a threat.
Oh my God. Wow.
Sorry, I know that one's not funny, but every now and again, I'm just like, guys, especially with, we talk about like nice guy TM culture, those, look out for those red flags. It's never anybody's fault for falling for manipulation. Like, don't ever beat yourself up about that. However, we, what we can do is move forward with the knowledge of like, if somebody is telling you how grateful you should be that they're in their life, that other people won't appreciate you or love you the way that they appreciate and love you, those are all manipulation tactics that you should steer clear of.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
Wow. Yeah. No, I would also say the one thing that we've said almost from the beginning of this podcast too is just like, surround yourself with fucking friends.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I wish that I had done that when I was younger, because friends give you a different kind of confidence in yourself, and you shouldn't strive to find that confidence in a relationship, because it won't work. It will not work. If you derive your self-worth and your confidence from a relationship, which is something I did when I was young, it doesn't work. It deteriorates the relationship. You can easily fall into one of these abusive patterns, these codependent patterns.
Right.
And you've got to fucking surround yourself with friends and doing the things that you love. Surround yourself with work, things that you're passionate about. Those are the things that are going to give you self-love, self-confidence, so that you don't get trapped in a situation like this.
Right. I mean, and friends will also give you that perspective of like, good friends are going to tell you if they're like, look.
If they see the red flags that you don't.
Right. Right. Yeah. Or if you're very casually mentioning things to them that you think are normal, but they know are not normal, they will voice those things to you, and they will be that voice in your head that's like, you deserve better. You deserve to be treated better.
Right.
You know, yeah. And it might push you to get the confidence you need to get out of that relationship.
Can you guys hold on for 1 second? Chris is about to take a walk and ask if I could take a break for 1 second.
Sure.
To ask me some. Hold on.
There's a falcon out here in front of the gate, right in front of the gate, that is eating a pigeon. And now there's just blood.
Oh my God.
There's blood.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. What the fuck? We're going to have to step around it to get out.
Oh my God. First of all, birds aren't real. Secondly, birds are fucking terrifying.
Savage, man. That falcon looked me in my eyes.
Yeah, you did.
I went over there and it was like, what?
That's a fucking dinosaur. Oh my God.
Jesus Christ. Oh.
Dude.
It tried to take off with it in its, but it's like a small falcon. So it's only barely bigger than this. Than this pigeon, and it tried to like take off with it in its talons and then just dropped it, and now there's blood everywhere.
Oh well, my God.
Yikes. Well, I live here now, so
yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
No, I
don't blame you, not with murder falcons outside.
Jesus, that's great. The last thing we needed in 2020 was some murder falcons. Great. Honestly.
Now murder falcons.
Here we go.
Perfect. This tracks.
Sorry. Wow, well, that was very exciting.
Well, I have a story from Reddit as well, and I'll just dive in. Okay, so this guy says, I went on an OkCupid date once. The girl and
never
I...
Never a good start.
Nope.
Ever.
The girl and I drove past a mattress and box spring hand-wrapped in plastic. I drive a truck.
No, honey. Okay, hold on. Pause, because I know what's about to happen. And I have to say, unless you are 18 and in your first apartment,
even then,
it's a bad move.
Even
it's
then.
A really bad move, you guys.
Don't do it.
I mean, on my first
date.
Couch.
On a first date.
My first couch came from the side of the road. I'm not going to lie. But
no shade, but do that on your own fucking time. Anyways, she asked and then insisted that I stop and get the box spring. She wanted me to put it in my truck and then help her put it in her second story walk-up apartment.
That, okay, first of all, this
isn't actually a date. She just saw that shit earlier and was like, hey, you got a truck, right?
Yes, seriously. He probably has a picture of him with his truck, yes, on OkCupid, and she's like, that'll work. I don't want to go hire a U-Haul. She's too cheap to go get a new box spring, so she definitely isn't paying for a truck.
I politely said, no, I do not think this is a good idea, that there is a pretty solid chance of bed bugs because sealing, yep, an item is what you try first when you have those nasty little things. She was having none of it. I refused. She started crying, telling me, I don't know how it is not to have things and that it's easy for someone born with a silver spoon in their mouth to write off a free box spring. She didn't know me at all and made these assumptions based on who knows what. It was hard to hear since I came from absolutely nothing and worked my ass off to get to where I am. So we pulled into the restaurant.
No.
And she settled down a bit. We ordered our food. She answered a phone call at the table. It was a friend that had an extra ticket to a music festival. She really wanted to go but had just started a job serving food at a restaurant. I suggested that she not call her boss and ask for days off. I worked in the restaurant industry when I was younger, and I knew that her supervisor would not let her call off from her first weekend.
Right? Yeah.
She called her work anyway.
Oh, God. In front of him?
Yes.
Like, honey, oh my God, go home. Like, she has no appropriate boundaries. No, you just met this person. This is a stranger, and you're letting them in on all your dirty shit.
She's also crying so messy. Within the
first hour. Oh, my God, it's so messy.
She called her work anyway. She started crying when her boss said no. I felt bad for her boss, to be honest.
Yeah.
Her boss fired her on the spot.
Whoa.
So now you're sitting with a girl who just got fired. Oh, my God.
Is crying and wants a free box spring.
Yeah. I paid the check with both of our meals still steaming and untouched. On the way back to her house, we reached a stop sign. She jumps out of my truck.
Oh, my God.
And ran towards a trash pile. She came back with a hand Day-Glo painted end table and threw it in the back of my truck. When I got to her house.
Okay, I'm sorry. We need to pause and break that down. It is a Day-Glo painted end table.
And you jumped out at a stop sign.
Some 15-year-old painted this table and then was like, you know what? I'm better than 16. This. Yes, exactly. And I'm going to throw this away. And this grown lady, I assume.
On a date. On a date.
What is the just fuck? Like, oh my God.
And then threw it in your truck bed.
When I got to her house, I said nothing. Just put it in park and hit the unlock button. She then took both of our to-go bags and ran off with her new end table.
Wow.
We haven't had a really good like who raised you like in a minute. I feel like that is a real who raised you moment. Like,
oh, Lord.
What?
Do not take my leftovers, dude. Honestly,
like, of everything she did, that's the thing that would have put me over the edge. I'd be like, I wanted to go home and enjoy my dinner.
I had plans for that fucking carbonara, bitch.
Exactly.
Exactly. Jesus.
Whoa.
I'm surprised. You know, she had a friend call and ask her to go to a music festival. I'm surprised she has friends. Because somebody who like behaves like that all the time, you're like, you know that... She's putting a lot of emotional labor on those friends, man.
Absolutely. She had to be the last girl left on a first date. Hey, stop and get that for me. You have a truck. It's just like the sense of entitlement that
cries.
You don't know me, but help me with this.
There's also
very
something
big thing.
There's something about adult people who cry when they don't get their way that is so off-putting. Like, you know, it's so off-putting. Okay.
Well, that's that.
That's that.
Well, and if you hate that, you're going to hate this.
Okay, ooh-wee. Let's do it.
Thank you. All right. So I'm very excited, Christina.
Ooh.
And here's why. I'm finally doing the story of Chris Watts.
Yes! And not to say yes as in, like, this no. This motherfucker is one of the biggest pieces of shit ever.
Garbage. Ever. Did you guys see? Sorry.
No, but I mean, you all know that, like, my... The one of the biggest things I'm fascinated by are family annihilators. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
The family aside.
That's right. Did you guys see recently? I think it was, I don't know if it was Walmart, not trying to throw them under the bus if it's not them, but it was some company, like photo company that used, like, so, you know, they were like advertising that, like, you can take all these pictures and make a collage and put it on a blanket, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the pictures was Chris Watts and his family.
No, wasn't.
And they used it to advertise, like, you can put your family's pictures on this blanket.
Oh, no.
And people were like, excuse me? I'm like, whose fucking call was that? Like, how did this slip under the radar?
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Oh, no. Holy shit balls. Dude, could you imagine? All right. Well, I got a lot of my information from NBC News. I also watched Family Man, Family Murderer on ID, which actually had a plethora of really updated and good information. Mm-hmm. It's August 13th, 2018. Nicole Atkinson is in a panic. She's been trying all morning to reach her friend Shanann. They had just returned from the evening before. Like, they got back 2 a.m. in the morning, really late the night before from a work trip. And she had dropped her off at home. Shanann had not been feeling well during the trip. She has lupus and she's also pregnant at this time with her third child. Shanann and her husband, Chris Watts, were expecting their first son, already named Nico. Oh. Nicole knows.
Nico, what a cute name.
I know.
Nicole knew Shanann had not hadn't a scheduled OB visit the next morning and had been trying to reach out to her to see how she was feeling. During this trip, she'd been feeling poorly, but also some tensions from home had popped up while they were on the trip. Shanann had noticed a charge on their credit card that was suspiciously high for just one person. She had to have had prior suspicions to this, honestly. If she's looking at her credit card statements that thoroughly and then sees like a bill come in from a restaurant and is like, suspiciously high charge.
Yeah, for sure. She definitely, that seems to me like there were definitely things that she was like, just maybe looking at things slightly more closely just to see, you know, because that's definitely what that feels like to me. She already had suspicions because otherwise, if you fully trust your partner, you would explain that away, something that simple. You'd be like, maybe they had a big lunch that day. Maybe they took their friend out to lunch or whatever.
I would never question Chris over a big bill. I would exactly assume that. I'd be like, he went out to lunch with a coworker, bought them lunch or something.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, at the end of the day, cheating to me is so cowardly because it's like you can't use your big person words to express like a feeling of discontent, like and try to like have an adult solution. And that's why like family annihilators like are like the epitome of that they're so incapable of voicing
adult talk
or addressing adult concerns that they have to go to such an extreme to avoid a confrontation.
It creates something like this. Yeah, it's incredibly fascinating, actually, because you're like
immature.
Yeah, but
when
you're
you
like
really break it down like
where
that.
Where does that come from like a psychological standpoint? I mean, I guess I can see where it comes from because I think we all have those feelings.
Better
right,
for it to like, just disappear than have to deal with it.
Right?
That's where it comes from.
I'm so deeply afraid of conflict or whatever, and I have such a deep need to be perceived a certain way that like I cannot.
Early childhood shit. That's like parents that don't talk about feelings. That's like, okay,
it's levels for sure. So this is also happening. So the trip, to say the least, this work trip with her friend Nicole, she's working for Lavelle, which is a multi-level marketing company. So they're in Arizona. That's what this trip is. And you know, like I said, so the you know, her being sick, not feeling well, not, you know, being able to deal with, you know, some of these, you know,
suspicions,
health issues.
And she's and pregnant.
And suspicions. So, I mean, here's the thing, too. You know, a lot of autoimmune diseases like lupus and stuff are triggered by stress. So, you know, very much, you know, some of these, you know, lupus things that she's dealing with and these illnesses could very well be related to the stress of some of the stuff that, you know, was going on at home. So, again, her friend is like freaking the fuck out. And she's like, I haven't, you know, seen her, and she's no response. So she ends up going by the house. So she's been texting or calling her all morning. No response. She goes to the house. No one answers the door yet. Again, she knows she's got an OB visit. She goes to the house, notices her car is still in the garage. She's worried. So she's like, calls Chris, who's her husband. And Chris is like, no, she must be out. I know she had a play date with, you know, the kids, and she has to be out with the kids. Don't worry. Nicole's like, but I am worried. And being the best fucking murderino friend on the planet says, nah, and calls 911 to report a suspicious.
See, have good friends.
Right. That's right.
You're like, her shady ass husband is telling me everything is fine, but my intuition is saying nah. So
yeah,
I 100% count on you guys doing something like that for
100.
Me.
If Eric was like, oh no, she's fine, I'd be like,
put her on the fucking phone right now.
You go wake her up. I don't care if she's asleep.
That's weird. I'm going to call 911. So she does. And she's like, when Chris returns home, the police are already there. The police had, you know, gone around the house, checked all the windows, didn't see anything in there, nothing. But they did see like her shoes by the door. They saw some stuff, but nobody was home. So Chris finally arrives. Like, he comes straight from work, obviously in a panic. And he, you know, pulls up. It's funny because the police are wearing like the cameras, the like
body cams. Yeah.
Yeah. Body cams. And so like you can see him pull up and his face and how he reacts. It's all very strange.
Trash.
Nicole starts to, so they get into the house and Nicole starts to immediately point out things. She's like, her purse is still here. You see her on the body cam opening the purse. And she's like, nope, her medication's in here. She would never go anywhere without this medication.
Love this bitch. Like this bitch was like, you know what? I could just call 911 and let the cops handle it, but nah. She got in her car. Mm-hmm. She drove over there. She's like, went inside and she's like, I don't trust Chris to point out all this shit to you, so I'll be the one.
Oh,
her
you
purse
see
is still
her.
Here. Her medication is still here.
She would
Somebody's
never leave
lying.
Her suitcase
lying?
Is still unpacked from the night before. The bedding, when they go into the bedroom, the bedding had been stripped and they find a bed sheet in the trash bin.
Oh, yeah. Nicole's like,
BFF.
I'm a help.
Yeah.
Y'all don't know.
Yeah. Here's the thing, guys. I don't know about you, but when I change my sheets and I take my bedding off, I don't throw them in the trash can. I traditionally put them in my laundry basket.
That is true.
Or just unless, straight to the washer.
You know, eventually those sheets are going to need to be thrown away, but typically that's a once in every how long.
And it's weird. It's weird that if I'm missing, that's the day that I decide to throw the sheets away.
Yeah. I'm going to leave town without my purse or my medication while I'm pregnant. And you know what? While I'm at it, I'm going to go ahead and make the bed and throw these sheets out.
Yeah. Like, we don't need these anymore. Jesus Christ. Shannon and Chris had a mutual friend, had met because they had a mutual friend. So when she had received, so this is kind of how they met. When she'd received a message from him on Facebook, she was hesitant, but he was persistent. And after becoming a couple, they marry in 2012. They were like relocate to Frederick, Colorado from North Carolina, hoping for the location to be more ideal for Shanann's lupus. Shortly after, they have their first daughter, Bella, followed then by Celeste, who they call Cece.
Oh my God, how adorbs
They're
is that?
So fucking beautiful. And like this to everyone from the outside is like beautiful. Perfect couple, beautiful children.
Like, they literally look like a stock photo that you would use
clearly
on a blanket.
But I mean, like, that was obviously someone's fuck up, and I can't help but think that that was an intentional thing that they did. But to that point, they do look like that. They look like a stock photo of a perfect family,
right? Mm-hmm. So when they, you know, they're looking at this case, they're walking through this house and everything's so suspicious, you know, they're like, this is really fucking bizarre. Like, why would this family of all families, you know, met wholesomely? He's such a loving person. She has a plethora, like a strong Instagram and social media, like, you know,
presence.
Thank you. Presence is the word I was looking for. Exactly. Where she's constantly sharing stuff. She even shares like so much. And a lot of it had to do with her MLM business, of course. Of course. And she's definitely that friend from school who would like message you.
Hit you up.
Like,
hey, hun.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. Been a long time.
Do you want to be a boss, babe? And
and there's like 20 emojis, yeah. And you're like, I'm gonna just walk right out of this conversation. Yeah.
But she's like, but she does have a lot of friends. She's got a lot of people who follow her, and her life has become Instagram and Facebook and social media. So much so that even like when she decides to share with her husband, she has this really fucking cute shirt that says, "Oops, we did it again," and it's like she films it. So she like films like their lives and their perfect existence, you know, on social media, right? So this is the family.
This is why, like, honestly, like, Keegan, I know you're taking a break from Facebook, but it was really, like, really eye-opening and something I had to come to terms with, like, post-divorce, like, how fucking fake social media is. And if it's something that can exacerbate depression and anxiety big time. Mm-hmm. If you don't realize, like how fake people are with it. It's right. What they want you to see. It's absolutely not a depiction of real life.
Never.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I would recommend, especially like right now, like you said, I'm taking a Facebook break. I am still on Instagram. But even then, I've really been trying to curate my Instagram feed to be a place that makes me feel good about myself, because like I think very often we can get sucked into this world of social media that like makes us feel bad about ourselves.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I recommend that, like, go curate your feed with things that are like educating you, making you feel positive, surround yourself with friends. Yeah. Like,
my God, do that. So much of my Instagram is like plants and like alpacas.
The best.
I have a lot of cats.
Slowly yeah. Cats, and lots amazing. Of cats. I love it.
So now, you know, again, they're at this home and both little girls and the pregnant mother is missing. So, you know, where the fuck is Shanann and where are Bella and Belle and Celeste?
Ugh.
So the helpful, I wrote in quotes, i.e. nosy neighbor, Nate, decides to jump in as well and tells the police, hey, you know,
I'm Nate.
I'm the neighbor. My name's Nate.
I was outside brushing my door.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Like I'm coming over and I'm just
sweeping
like
my grass.
Hey, can I be of any assistance? The cops are like, no, go home.
I was just vacuuming my grass and I noticed.
I overheard. I couldn't help it. So I thought I'd chime in.
I just want you to know that I actually have a video surveillance footage that hits right on their garage that might be helpful.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to just take
God
a look, see Blue.
Nate. Man,
so
you're the best.
The police and Chris head on over to watch the tape.
Chris is just sweating bullets.
Dude.
Like his armpits are spicy.
Chris is being filmed by the body cam.
Oh,
so
God.
The video footage you see is the fucking body cam video footage of them watching the video of him backing in and seeing all that stuff, which we've seen probably a million times in media. But Chris is exactly. He's pacing. He's like leaning foot to foot, like doing the, you know, he is sweating.
Meanwhile, that one cop who took a psychology course is like, yeah. His body language seems off.
So they're about to head out the door and Nate's like, hey, yo, want to hold back here for a sec? He's cop's like,
can you come
you know
in here
what?
And shut the door,
please. Information real quick, Chris. I'll be right out. He's like, so dude face is like, yeah, that's suspicious. Your boy is acting so suspicious. He's been my neighbor for years. I've known him for years. This is not how he acts.
I love that Nate felt the need to tell the cops that. He's just like, hey, I don't know if you noticed, but he's
acting
real
strange.
Weird, right?
acting very strange, isn't normal behavior. He's basically like red flags everywhere. Unfortunately, at this point, though, there's no other than the odd behavior, other than the suspiciousness, there's not really anything to go on because the video doesn't actually show much of anything except for the truck pulling back in and no one actually seeing her leave. So literally they see her come in. There's a video camera surveillance on like their Ring camera from the house that when she comes in at night late, when she's being dropped off, no one sees her again, except for the truck being backed into the garage. So suspicious AF, yeah. But not necessarily, there's not really a smoking gun.
Right. Cause she could have gone out the back door, sure. Could have left the house another way. Sure. But it is unlikely. Like if you are trying,
especially since her car's still there.
And if you're trying to get out with children, why would you make it more difficult or more complicated on yourself? Why wouldn't
you take your car?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you take your car? Why wouldn't you go out the front door? You're pregnant. You got lupus. You're trying to wrangle two kids to leave. You don't take your purse. You don't take your car and your medicine. Go out the back door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why? That never happens. Zero times.
So a little backstory as well beyond this happy facade. In July of 2018, before this, Shanann and Chris were having some problems. So she had taken the girls to her family's in North Carolina for 5 weeks. He had also revealed that he wasn't super thrilled about the third child. So they were having some real issues in their relationship. As news of this disappearance went out, police were contacted by a woman called Nicole Kessinger. She shared with the detectives that they had met at work and become close. He told her, so this is the thing, as soon as this went out on television, as soon as like detectives were like, hey, this person's missing and so are her kids, she's like, whoa, wait a tick. This is the guy I've been seeing and he told me he was getting divorced. This is really bizarre. She immediately is like, nah, I ain't fucking down for that.
You got a Scott Peterson sitch here.
So here's the thing about that, because I think there's, you know, as soon as you see something like this come up, your automatic thought is like, oh, other woman, who's this scandalous bitch? Maybe she's involved. This girl truly was like, I knew nothing about this. And as soon as she heard, was immediately contacted the police.
Well, it's like Amber Fry. It is. Yep. It's like, yes. It's like, Scott Peterson. Yeah. It's exactly the same kind of thing where I think we do rush to judgment, especially in our country, the way that our society is built up. We rush straight to be like, this person must be involved. This is like a home wrecking bitch. What did she do?
Right. What's like, her responsibility? This was just the fucking poor chick that swiped left on the wrong motherfucker and got
right. No, you know what I mean? To work together.
Right. Yeah,
they happened to work together. So they met each other through like a really, you know, like, you know, innocent way, you know, and he had told her they were in the process of splitting up. And to be honest, his wife was gone. She's in a whole different state. She's not home. Mm-hmm. You know, he tells her, he's like, I have two little girls, but, you know, my wife and I are in the process of splitting up.
Yeah, you have no reason to disbelieve. Why would you believe that?
I went on dates with guys in that situation.
Oh, my God.
I did.
Can you imagine if you watched the news and one of their wives was missing or disappeared? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Ugh. But there were emails, letters, love notes, police found between the two of them, as well as photos. So there was plenty of like to back up her story. Like, this is not some crazy bitch who came up with a story. Like, she's like, oh, no, here's my receipts.
So, yeah.
So the police now were laser focused on Chris. They had tracked his work truck's movements and were
this
giving him
dumb
a lie detector.
Motherfucker. Like, honestly, like he... Just a bad criminal, really.
No, dude, the level of fucking narcissism, too, with these fucking dudes who can't, or most of the time dudes, who are incapable of fucking using their big boy words and talking through emotions. They still think that they're fucking better than everybody. And it's so fucking crazy. I'm just like,
it is wild.
They have the emotional maturity of a fucking toddler.
Well, and yeah, they think that they can put in absolutely no work into this crime, essentially, and that they're still going to get away with it. Because I think they fully expect that they will.
Oh, yeah.
And that is, it's like deep narcissism.
It is. And the wild thing, too, is I was saying to Keegan yesterday, because I did tell her what I was doing, and I was like, dude, I honestly was like, oh, this went on for months. This was literally between 2 days. All of this shit happens within 2 days. This is how fucking ignorant this motherfucker really
is. And it's a combination of him being dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
And also, like, again, her, Shanann, having people around her who gave enough of a shit to be like,
no, sir.
We're not today. Not on my watch.
That's right. I mean, her friend was immediately like, hey, I'm not hearing from my girl. This isn't right. I know she's not been feeling well. this to could be honest, anything.
Everybody in this situation thus yep. far, except for Chris,
came correct.
Like, yep. Yeah, the like neighbors like, I'll chime in to help. This is like the village taking care of this one person, right? Like the neighbor was just like, I can help. The girlfriend that would be was me like,
for sure.
Girlfriend was like 9-1 fucking one. Hey, I just want you to know that like I'm not involved in this, you know.
But
like
your boy might be. So they do track Chris's truck. They track it all the way out to a well site using at this well site. So Chris is an oil worker, so he works in many oil fields. This is one specific site that he has worked at. This is where they track his truck to the site. Using a drone, they actually survey the entire area. So they have a drone going over this area to see if there's any disturbances in the ground. But what they do find immediately is they find a sheet that shockingly matches the bedding that's missing from the home.
Well, imagine that.
I mean, that's not suspicious at all. So during the interview, Chris is revealing absolutely nothing. And even though he failed his poly, he only ever admits to having an affair, which, of course, they already know. They don't tell him they know that. But this is the only thing at this point that he's confessed to. Eventually, the police are trying to redirect his process, suggesting maybe he did it because you had to, huh? Maybe Shanann was bad.
This and is had the worst part of the story to me.
Yes, yeah. This is the part that I think, I mean, the whole situation is horrible, but I think this part of it, I think, is what made it pop off the way it did in the media, because it is so despicable. It takes it to another, and you look at the story and you're like, how could it get worse? How could he be more of a piece of shit? And then you're like,
count the ways.
Thank you. Do it.
He tells, he's like, he's, you know, see, it's funny because you can watch the video of it, right? You can almost just see the wheels turning in his head where he's like, Yeah, her fault.
God, she did something fucking stupid.
I had to protect the fucking kids. But they were looking at any outlet to say, for him to just fucking admit that he killed them, and where are these bodies? Like, where are they at? So they just need to get to an answer. So with this, once he brings this up, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna want to talk to my dad real quick. And after I do that, I'll confess everything you want to hear.
So these two are real pieces of shit too. The parents, yeah. Chris Botts' parents. Oof.
Well, that's the reason why he is the way he is. Honestly, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm not one of those people that likes to pass the buck on to like always blame the parents. But in this fucking case, I fucking blame the parents. I really do. So the fact that they stood by and watched this motherfucker lie about what happened to their fucking grandkids.
Their grandbabies. Yeah. Mm. You know, and I have to say, like, my mom doesn't have any grandkids yet, but I truly do believe that she's going to love those kids so fucking much that I think she would, I really do think that she would throw me under the bus if I did some fucked up shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And 100. Like, and that doesn't mean she doesn't love me. It just means that, like,
no, you're supposed to love your grandkids more than your kids, right? Isn't that,
isn't that how it works?
That's laws.
Yeah.
So he tells his dad, Ronnie, that he had seen Shanann strangling the girls on a monitor. So he just flipped out and did the same to her. He later identifies an area in the grass where he buried Shanann and tells them each of the girls is in each subsequent tank on that site.
Tanks,
the oil tanks.
Disgusting.
It's disgusting. Fucking disgusting. So they show too, like how they have to like extract these. Well, they don't show the actual extraction, but like it's a fucking shit show trying to get like these two fucking babies' bodies out of these tanks. It's fucking horrid. And they do find Shanann's body. They come with 9 counts against him, including murder, tampering with dead bodies, and unlawful death of an unborn child. Chris continues to try and sell this story of Shanann killing the children. Eventually,
no one believes it. Yeah. No one except for his parents believe it.
Oh, like, his parents. Nobody. His parents don't believe it either. No. But where do you think Chris Botts got his "I have to keep up appearances" from? Mm. And that's the reason why his fucking parents are spouting that shit too, in some sort of effort to try to keep up appearances. You know
Did
what
you
I mean?
See what his mom wrote? His mom made a Facebook post that went fucking viral on Facebook a while ago, and it was blaming Shanann. Like the whole post was basically like, if Shanann hadn't done X, Y, Z, she was victim blaming her daughter-in-law for the deaths of her grandchildren. It's horrifying.
And you can fuck all the way off, bitch, because. Yeah. So eventually he ends up being like, you know what? I'm going to take a plea. If you guys take the death penalty off the table, I'm going to plea to all of this. And he is sentenced with the maximum. That's 3 life sentences plus 86 additional years for the death of their unborn son, Nico, which was really important, apparently, to Shanann's family that he also get penalized for that. Well, the wild thing is, too, is that so, you know, many cases it's like, okay, you're not going to really get the satisfaction, but he did get the time, he got the penalty, and many times you're like, you're just gonna have to speculate to the end of the day is what actually happened. We can all assume that he did what he did, but he did a criminal confession to the police finally. So this is months and months after he's already in prison, he's already facing his time, and they record a criminal confession with him in which he finally comes out and says what happened. He said that Shanann had come home late. They had gotten into a little bit of a tiff, but ended up having sex that night. They woke up in the next morning and she accused him of having an affair because of the receipts and all that stuff. So they got a big fight. Yeah, exactly. So he says he strangles her. He couldn't stop strangling her on the bed. And then his daughter walks to the door and is like, what's wrong with mommy? And he says, mommy's just resting. And so he takes the 2 living children, puts them in his truck, puts their dead mother in the back of the truck, drives them out to this oil site. He buries her in a shallow grave while his 6 and 3-year-old daughter are watching. Then he kills his 3-year-old daughter by smothering her with her blanket while his 6-year-old watches. And he says that his 6-year-old daughter is like, are you going to do that to me too? And he said, the last thing she said was, please don't, daddy.
Oh my God.
It was, I'm telling you, when what I say that I've like never what cried, like
a monster.
I literally was fucking just tears. What a fucking,
how could you do that? Like, I don't understand. You're missing something as a human being.
Exactly. Your children, your babies. I'm telling you, 2 beautiful, precious babies. And I don't even like kids.
Yeah.
You can cut that.
No, it's true. I'm the same way. And I can't fathom it. Like, I can't. And I think that's the reason why I will always like research stories like this, is because in an attempt to understand. And I mean, I'm 38. Kids have always been like off the table for me. And I thought it was because, like you, Cassie, I was like, I don't like kids. But right. I think what it comes down to is that I take the responsibility so seriously. Like, yes. To, yes. Like, almost a debilitating amount that it I can't even be able to comprehend being able to deal with that much love and yes. care for mm-hmm. another person. Like, I just don't know how I would be able to handle day-to-day life with another human that I'm responsible for. And just the idea of somebody not only being cavalier with that responsibility, but negating it in such a way that is so violent and so antithetical to being a human. It's yeah, very difficult.
Yes, that's exactly it. I feel like you have to turn off part of your humanity in order to do that. Like, you have to compartmentalize in a way that I think that I'm just not capable of. Because in that moment, I mean, because people are weird and complicated, and I'm sure he would say that he loved his children. So how then yeah. can you do that unless you are able to turn something off in mm-hmm. yourself? I don't see how else yeah. you would be able to accomplish that. It's so, it's unfathomable.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, now, of course, he's regretful in prison. I hate to even talk about it because he doesn't deserve to get those feelings shared. You know what I'm saying? Like, honestly, mm-hmm. fuck you, dude. Fuck you. Fuck
no,
you.
No, I think it's a crazy in love in in almost a perfect sense, because I don't think that there is a better example of somebody that was so crazy in love with themselves.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the highest level of narcissism. Everything
from
about
Shanann's perspective as well. I think, you know, very often it comes back to, when we do these crazy in love stories, a lot of the time it comes back to that fear I think we all have of not knowing who we're married to, right? Not knowing who we're in a relationship with. Yep. Because how do you know that you're with somebody who is capable? Mm. You have children with somebody who is capable
of killing you and them.
That kind of evil is like, that's what's so scary, you know? And it's weird to tell these stories because mm-hmm. I don't want the takeaway to always be like, oh, it's terrifying out there. Like, sorry, deuces, good luck. You know, I don't want that to be the takeaway all the time, but it is an important thing to just acknowledge that, like, you know, just be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the thing of it is, too, is that, you know, I think probably from Shanann's perspective, she had it all, right? She had like a beautiful family. And her thing was, too, is like she was really like, especially when you think about like her talking about their relationship early on. And she's like, he took on me. I'm broken. I have lupus. Mm-hmm. I have this problem. Mm-hmm. And
it's so, quite possible, just like in my story from today, that he even verbalized those things to her.
I'm sure. Like, I don't care.
About the fact that you have an autoimmune disease, but other men won't put up with that. Right.
Sure.
So, you know, there's that aspect of it too. These people, they play on your insecurities and your deepest fears. And like all of us just want to be loved and accepted. That's all any of us want, really, like when it comes down to it. And people like that will play on those feelings. And I don't know. I think that's what makes stories like this so absolutely tragic and devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she did so many things right, too. She had a really strong group of people around her that cared for her, too. And that, I think, is the other part that's so hard about this story is that, I mean, she did what we talk about on the podcast. She had strong friendships, people that were like, nah, girl, I'm looking out for you. She, right.
Which is another reason why the case was solved so quickly. I mean, we talk about it being solved quickly because he's a dumbass, which is true. But it was also solved so quickly, you know, because she had people around her who raised the flag immediately and turned that alarm on immediately.
Right.
To make sure that she got justice, you know. And like for him, here's the thing. Does leaving your family make you kind of a shit person? Like kind of a shitty husband, kind of a shitty dad? Like, yes, it does, but it's infinitely better than taking your whole family out because you personally can't handle the responsibility. Just fucking leave. No. Just leave. Yeah. But these people won't do that because they can't stand the idea of being perceived as someone like that. But
And having their children taken away from them, except that you literally are so worried about your kids being alive away from you that you'd rather them be dead.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's weird to look at these things and try and rationalize them because you can't. Like,
yeah, it's not. So. It's not rational at all. It's really, really sick. Ugh.
So that's a horrible story.
I'm glad that you tackled that one.
Yeah, totally.
It is a good crazy in love because it does. Like, how well do you ever know somebody? And it's like, it's really spooky. Really spooky. And speaking of,
thank you for Nicole, for who like fucking came in and was like, nah, I don't know about this.
BFF of the year. Yeah, for real.
Speaking of, we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but today happens to be 15 years married for Cassie.
Aaron. Yeah, we're celebrating by not going in public.
Hey.
No, congratulations. Being married is work. And I don't know if many people really think about it. It can be really good work. It can be really hard work. It's rewarding. Sometimes it's infuriating. But 15 years is something to celebrate. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats,
Cassie.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yay. What are we watching this week?
What am I? Oh, we just started the new series, the new season of Marcella.
Oh, man.
Oh, nice.
How are you liking it so far?
We're like only a couple episodes in, and I legitimately, you just get thrown right the fuck in. It just takes right the fuck off.
It feels like I watched the trailer for the third season, and it feels like it's almost a different show.
It does. It's still good, but you really are thrown into a whole new scenario. Like, she's obviously, I guess I don't want to give anything away, but
crime procedurals?
The first two seasons are fucking perfection.
Beauty.
And this so far is, we've only gotten a couple episodes in. So far I like it. I'm not as quite enthralled with it as I was the first two seasons. I'll say that, but I'm still giving it an opportunity to come correct.
Totally. Okay. Well, I've watched a couple of things. First thing, Anthony and I, because for years and years, we saw the trailer for this years and years ago, and we were like, we need to watch that because it looks like up our alley as far as just like weird fucking horror shit. And so we were like, let's watch it, finally. It's a German movie, so you know
scary.
It's about to be uncomfy. It's a German horror movie called Goodnight, Mommy.
Nope.
Oh, Jesus.
Nope.
I've heard of this.
No, thank you.
It is.
I hate it already.
Look, it was really good. Like, if you like movies like Hereditary, like those kinds of very unsettling horror movies.
Goodnight, Mommy.
Yeah, if you like psychological horror movies that are like very not. I guess it's not even horror. It's like a psychological thriller more than anything else. That it's gonna fuck you up mentally. This movie was so uncomfortable.
Oh, shit.
But it was good. It was very good, but it was, I'm telling you, if that's something that you, sometimes I just like to put myself through that. I don't know. Maybe it's based in some kind of deep childhood trauma. Who knows where that comes from? But sometimes I feel like I need to just watch a movie that's going to fuck me up. That did it. And it's German. It's, you have to read the subtitles, but it's good. On the other side of that coin, you guys, I will never stop talking about this. I'm sure I've talked about this on this podcast. I for sure talked about it on Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. It is something that I think will be probably one of the biggest bragging rights of my entire life, that I got to see Hamilton in like the first week that it was on Broadway. It was my first time in New York. It was like my third day in New York.
What?
And somehow we got tickets to see Hamilton with the original cast.
No way.
The first week on Broadway.
No way.
At the Richard Rodgers Theater. Yeah, I have pictures. It's insane to think of that now because of what a phenomenon that musical was, that just kind of randomly I was able to go see it with the original cast. And actually earlier that day, my brother and I were just walking through Manhattan. The day we went to go see Hamilton, we were walking through Manhattan and ran into Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
I didn't get a picture with him and I hate it. I took a picture of my brother with him. Obsessed. We talked a little bit about New York pizza, and then I saw Hamilton that night.
No way.
Yes, it was insane.
You're,
we were like,
hey, you remember me?
Yeah, I was like, we're going to see your show tonight. And he was like, okay, cool. You know, and I Amazing. Have an In the Heights tattoo. Like, that's how much like I am obsessed, right? Aww. So Hamilton, they released it on
Did you
Disney
have it
Plus.
When you saw him?
Did I did, and him? I didn't tell him, and what? I'm just like, I don't know, I froze, okay? I'm bad with celebrities. I'm really bad. It came out on Disney Plus. Anthony and I, like, got settled. We got coffee. We, like, went home. We shut all the blinds so that it was, like, dark in our apartment, and we watched it, and it's amazing. Like, I'd seen it live with this exact cast, and it's just incredible. Like, Anthony, he doesn't listen to this podcast anyway, so it's fine.
Rude.
I know. I remind him how rude it is all the time. But Anthony cried like 4 times.
Oh, wow. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah. I highly recommend, if you want something that's going to make you feel things, but feel things in a positive way, go watch Hamilton. Especially if you like musicals. But even if you don't, I think people who don't like musicals will still like Hamilton.
Yeah, I'll let you know on that because Eric's not a musical person like at all, but he agreed to watch it with me, so I'm stoked.
Yeah, it is long. So if he's someone who doesn't like musicals, maybe actually take a break during the intermission, like mm-hmm. go, you know, step outside, have a smoke or whatever. But yeah, I think even people who don't like musicals can appreciate how amazing. It's just brilliant. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching two things. I've been watching The Outsider. Speaking of so scary good. Things. Holy fucking it's so shit.
Good. I know.
Holy shit. It's so good. Ben Mendelsohn is
superb.
Incredible.
And Cynthia Erivo, when you get there. Ugh.
Oh, she's my God.
Crazy good.
Yeah. She's so good. We're on like episode, I think, 5 or something. So they just revealed like what this thing is. Oh, my Lord. I was scared last night. So here's my palate cleanser.
Okay.
I don't even remember what this show is called. We looked to find the dumbest thing that we could find on Netflix to go to sleep to. And this... It's called like Southern something, and it's almost like a Southern version of Mythbusters, where they find survival products and then test them out
to see if they work. Oh my God!
In. Well, you need to find the name of this right away.
I am so interested in that. It's like oh wow! It's like Mythbusters for preppers.
Exactly, exactly. Myth that preppers. Is exactly what it is. And I was like, oh, I'm fucking hooked to this. It is. Oh, they test out all these fucking crazy ass survivalist products. They're like, well, let's set a house on fire and see if it actually works.
I'm just going to watch people eat dehydrated mac and
just
cheese.
Just MREs.
For the next like 3 hours.
Oh my God, dude. I love it. They're like constantly like blowing shit up. They're like, let's test these flame retardant suits. And then they get out this ass like flamethrower and like,
you're like, okay, lighten dummies let's do on it. Fire.
I'm like, well, Jesus. That flame retardant suit is not worth my money. Look how badly it just burned up.
You know what's so a bummer great. Is like how topical that's going to be, how necessary that information might be for us. I'm like, when I'm stalking my prepper basement situation, my prepper bunker, when I'm stalking it, I need to watch this show so that I know not to buy the flame retardant suit doesn't actually work.
Exactly. It's retardant, not resistant, right?
I think it's called Southern Survival. So check it out on Netflix. It's like really, really dumb, but like amazing. I said, if you like Mythbusters,
so great for a homestead.
Oh, for sure.
Exactly. Anybody else? Nope. Okay. Well, if you've got stories, if you've got stuff we should watch, if you want to just reach out and say hello because quarantine has got you lonely and kind of crazy like all of us, go to our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. And thank you guys so much for listening. We love you.
Cheers. Cheers.